today on Real Radio.
It all happened because David, in his lapse of faith, thought for a moment, God will not fulfill his promise toward me. I've got to seek shelter under the protection of the Philistines because Saul's going to kill me.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. And as we look at chapter 29 and part of chapter 30 today, this section of 1 Samuel all appears to put David in a good light. Even one of the leaders of the Philistines speaks highly of David. But as we look a little bit closer, we see moments where David is possibly a little bit shaky with the situation he finds himself in. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called David, A Lapse of Faith.
That's why I had you step out. Do you remember when you were at that camp or you went to that retreat and you were just in high school or you were in college or when you went to that certain thing and that moment when you stepped and you actually did this for my kingdom? And do you remember what you felt like? God would say, do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember? It was uncomfortable for the moment. Things were going on. It might have been an outreach. It might have been a day trip down to Mexico for us, or maybe campus by the sea there in Catalina. I don't know, some kind of thing where you're at the camp and, you know, you step forward and kumbaya. And you make the, Lord, I'm going to give you my life. And you're, you know, sophomore or junior or senior in high school. That's it. I'm giving you all of it, God. I'm laying it down. And you write the little letter to yourself and you mail it back and it comes in a year and it's, how far am I now from when that day I made that commitment? What if David would have gotten a thing in the mail? Hey, David, look at this. Funny thing. It's a date here and it's postmarked the Valley of Elah. And after you cut off Goliath's head and drug it around for a few days, you sat down and you wrote yourself a little note. You put a little stamp on it because you wanted to make sure you're growing with the Lord. And you put it in a mailbox and it's come back around. And you wrote that day that the Lord in our weakness, he made us valiant and strong. That the Lord who inhabits the praises of Israel cannot be moved. Though the mountains shake and tremble, I will trust in him. And though evil come my way, I know that with his right hand, he will uphold me. He will be my strength. David writes this and it comes back. And now he's sitting in this place. He's a lover of God. You're a lover of God. I'm a lover of God. But am I in that place of God's perfect will? Well, how am I going to know? How am I going to know? Well, in every situation since we've started this wonderful book, frankly, it's been pretty tough going for David. He's been misunderstood. He's been ripped off. He's been made fun of. He's had spears thrown at him. He's had arrows shot at him. He's been lied about. And no doubt, at this chapter, he would, with us, throw our hands up and say, nobody understands me. To know me is to love me. Because that's how you think when we're not walking with God. It's warm. It's pretty fuzzy. Feels good. But David, I want to ask you this question. What are you going to do tomorrow? David, what are you doing next Tuesday? Just existing, I guess I am. Look at verse 8. Then David said to Achish, but what have I done? Well, the answer is nothing. And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you? That I may not go and fight against the enemies of the Lord my king? David, he's talking with the enemy. But Achish answered and said to David, I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. That's a beautiful witness, no doubt about it. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, you shall not go up with us to battle. Now therefore arise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you. And as soon as you are up early in the morning and have the light, depart. So David, verse 11, and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Chapter 30, verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. So David's en route going back to the Philistine stronghold. En route, they come to Ziklag, they see it destroyed, attacked. Verse 2, and listen to this. And had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him, listen, lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, remember her? The widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Then David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Mark it, please. Circle, please. Underline that. You need that verse at the end of verse 6. Mark that down. This is tremendous. Everything's gone. How'd this happen? If we were going to do a forensic study on this, let's back up. How did this happen? It all happened because David, in his lapse of faith, thought for a moment, God will not fulfill his promise toward me. I've got to seek shelter under the protection of the Philistines because Saul's going to kill me. How does that apply to our lives? Man, when you and I feel like we're backed into a corner, church, listen, when you feel backed into a corner, the temptation is so strong to do something. When I was in high school during the summer, I used to work for a contractor. And he said a lot of things that I'm still trying to get out of my head. But one of them was, he would pull up in his car, look around, and he'd say, what's going on? And maybe at that moment we didn't know what to do, or maybe the stuff didn't arrive, and you know, we're waiting. And he would say, what are you doing? Well, we're waiting. You're waiting. Now, this is bad counsel, but listen. He would say, don't stand around. The meter's running. The clock is going. You're being paid. Listen, do something, even if it's wrong. He would always say that. So guess what I used to say? Because then I wound up being a supervisor of a couple of those trucks. Hey, what's going on? We don't know. Don't stand there and umming and ahhing. Do something, even if it's wrong. You know, and what did I say? Well, I don't know. What do you have? Let's just, you know, start something on fire then. Let's just knock the place. Do something, even if it's wrong. When you get pressured into a corner, you say stupid things. You do stupid things. I don't know, honey. You know what? We should get it. The guy said it's the last one on the lot. And you know what? Right now, with zero APR, and listen, 60 months, you know, no charge, the rate, interest rate, the resale, and all of a sudden, you know, we get genius on the resale value of this vehicle is fantastic. Like you feel like and thinking you're going to sell it soon, you know. No, you're thinking, I'm taking this car to the grave. Black, or it's orange, or it's hot pink, well, not a guy car, but a, you know, oh, look at this. And the guy said, it's the last one on the lot. Corner, corner, corner. Hey, don't do that. Don't get into that place. Well, you know, buddy, you better buy this house because, woo, this is a market. I got 25 people that are lined up to buy this house right now. And there's people that they're just offering, they're just throwing out the offering price right then and there. So you better, don't you bargain with these people. You better take it. Listen, if God's in it, that guy might give you the house. Oh, could such a thing happen? Watch out. Such a thing could happen. Don't get pressured in. Christians, the only time we get pressured is because we've allowed ourselves to be pressured. We're not trusting in the Lord. You got to get it now. You think God's like that? Oh, man, you know what? Boy, this got to happen today. Gabriel, Michael, we got to get this thing to happen today on earth. Because if it doesn't happen on earth today, it ain't going to happen at all. God's not like that. He's not up there wringing his hands. Oh, man, do you realize what tomorrow is? He's not like that. So David's in a panic. That's how this whole thing began. It evolved in a path that is now leading from compromise to destruction. And all that is precious to them has been taken away by an enemy power. By an enemy force. And so they're thinking of stoning him. This is their great leader. I tell you, we so easily glance over, we don't think about it. Remember, David is the Army Ranger, Navy SEAL, Marine. He is it. There's nobody in Israel who can fight better than David. I mean, his men could probably take him on, and he could probably carve him up. He's so down, he's so low, and he is so in trouble that his own people said, you know what? There's rumors. Hey, you know what? I lost my son. I lost my daughter. I lost my wife. Their bodies are not here, so they must have been taken captive. You know, that's almost worse. There's no closure on this. We're just a bunch of ragtag guys. What can we do? And plus, you know what? You're our leader. What are we doing? We're hiding out with the camp of the Philistines. That's really inspiring. See, when the chips begin to tumble, popular opinion will shift in a second. The tide can change so quick. David, we love you. Oh, man, Saul's killed his thousands. But you, David, you've killed tens of thousands. You're a man. David, you're the man. David, if there's a giant, who can kill him? You can, you know. And then they come home and their houses are all ripped up, torn up. And what do? They're just, they're people. Somebody find me, give me a rock. All those in favor of David, raise your hand. All right. Your poles are slipping. They're going to kill him. You think he's low? That's why you can correlate in the book of Psalms how he pulled out. And he wrote Psalms at times like this. You want to read Psalms that will bless your heart when you're down and you feel outcast? He strengthened himself in the Lord. Turn to Psalm 139. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. Why did he write that? Nobody understands David at this hour. He doesn't know if he's going to be alive the next hour. God knows everything. Christian, hey, for that matter, non-Christian tonight, God knows everything about you, and he loves you silly. He loves you much. It always blows my mind to think that God loves people who are sinners too. And then the Lord says, but Jack, that's you. And they say, well, yeah, I know, Lord, but you forgave me all my sins. Yeah, but I loved you, Jack, before you came to me. And then I started, oh, Lord, you know what? And he said, hey, you know what? Just put a sock in it, Jack. I have loved you. And with an everlasting love have I drawn you. I've been doing that in your life, your whole life. You understand my thought of far off? I wonder if David thought he was going nuts at this point. What have I done to my family, to my friends, to my soldiers, to my future? What have I done? You comprehend. The word comprehend is a bizarre word in Hebrew. God knows everything so much about us. This kind of fries our circuits. He not only knows what we're going to think, say, and do tomorrow, but he also knows things that we will not say, think, or do tomorrow. He knows both the actual and the probable. Isn't that weird? It's like, well, okay, if I'm going down that road and I choose to go left and I wind up at this beautiful spot, what would happen if I would have went right? God knows. Yeah, but I didn't go right. Yeah, but God knows what would happen if you would have went right. Isn't that weird? It's in theology, it's called the decree of God. He knows all things actual and probable, or what is not happening or did not happen or will not happen, but he knows the outcome if they were to happen. Isn't he big? Didn't it just kind of like, you comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You think David needed God's help right now from his own people? You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain. I can't get to that kind of knowledge. Where can I go from your, look at in your Bible, it's a capital S. That means Holy Spirit. Where can I go from your Holy Spirit? See how he strengthened himself in the Lord? He's preaching to himself. Where can I go from your Holy Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me. Listen, verse 11, that's his heart. People, listen. This is David talking to David. This is the best-selling book, New York Times best-selling book, David on David. He says of himself, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. That's a man pulling himself into the light of God's will, even in the midst of darkness. Christians, we need this bad. Don't take this pathetic teacher's inability to communicate the magnitude of what that verse means. People, if you're having a problem or if you intend to have a problem, you better mark this verse and preach it to yourself. Meditate on it. Indeed, verse 12, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Why is he saying that? Because he's in darkness. He needs the Lord's presence like never before in his life. I need help. For you have formed my inward parts, and you have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. Well, wait a minute, David. I can give you 10,000 reasons why you shouldn't. No, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. My frame was not hidden from you. You're in control of everything. When I was made in secret, in the womb of my mom, in conception, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. By the way, that's a reference to his mama's belly. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Wow, modern day Christian biologist and chemist are saying that this could possibly be a reference to God revealing to us his understanding. Of course, like he is not coming to this, but he's sharing with us now through this passage with what we've come to know of DNA. God knows the freckle you have, and he knew before you were conceived. And at the moment of conception, when it came together, he knew where that little birthmark was going to be, and he knew the color of your hair. It's all coded in the DNA. Your hair color, your height, your everything. It's all there. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they're all written. And the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Verse 17, church, listen, how precious are your thoughts to me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the number of the sand. And when I awake, I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Now, he's not talking about his men. But now he's going beyond his dilemma, and he's going over the dilemma of his immediate situation, and he's going back to the enemy. He's now coming not only out of the hole, but he's starting to take flight. Verse 20, for they speak against you wickedly. Your name, or your enemies take your name in vain. Do not hate them, or do I not hate them, excuse me, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete or absolute hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Is that not real? What a man of God. He's got warts. Yes, so do you. So do I.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called David, A Lapse of Faith. It's a study taken from 1 Samuel chapters 29 and 30, part of Pastor Jack's look at this informative Old Testament narrative, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we'll be coming to the end of this fascinating series here in just a few days. And by the way, if you missed any part of it, nothing to worry about. Real Radio will send you the whole series from the beginning, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach. That's Pastor Jack's entire series through the book of 1 Samuel, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, just request 1 Samuel on MP3 CD. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or if you'd like, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, it's easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.